It's Monday, August 26th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 885, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our August GoDaddy special, customers get 32% off their orders at GoDaddy.com by using the promo code GO32OFF1. Or then get a .com for just $2.49. Find all my codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Got a great show lined up for you here tonight, folks. And once again, we're starting a little bit late here in Honolulu, but I got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you here to the show tonight. I want to give a warm, warm welcome to the Ohana and longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. And if you're a first-time subscriber, first-time listener, viewer of the show, here in Hawaii, nei, Ohana is family. And I want to welcome you to our family. And I want you to just kind of relax, kick seat back, get yourself a, depending on what time of day you watch or listen, whether it be an adult beverage, a cup of coffee, wherever it may be in that day for you, just grab something that's in, and it'll have a about an hour, hour and 10 minutes of content for you tonight. Lots to go through, lots of tech to talk about. And of course, we want to make sure that if you're brand new, that you find your way over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. And really over on the website, you'll find all the details that you need to really stay abreast of what's going on with the show. You can subscribe. There's a subscribe bar there, second column of the website. You can subscribe to all our shows. This show, our special media events, the new media show, Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, and coming soon, I hope, once again, the Chrome show. Of course, sign up for our newsletter as well. There's a link on the website on how to get hooked up with our newsletter. That way, when you are kind of off doing your own thing, we'll send you an email and remind you that the show has just been published. We'll give you all of the links to everything I'm going to talk about tonight. If you don't want to get the email, don't worry, because I have extensive show notes. We link everything, every article, every listener submitted article via our show notes page at gncshownotes.com. And gncshownotes.com/885 is where you will find today's show notes. Just go over to the website. They're there sequentially. Don't worry. You won't miss them. If you want to reach out to me on the show, it's real easy on Twitter. You can do that at Geek News, or you can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Our hotline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365 for your pleasure as well. You can just send me an audio file, too, if you want to do it that way, or a video clip, whatever it is that twists your fancy. We always appreciate feedback to the show via email or audio. Either way is good. I always read, 99% of the email gets read. Usually there's one or two that pop in from time to time where the folks say, don't read it, just... maybe acknowledge that you got it, and I do that. So we're very open and transparent here at the show. Of course, you can watch the show on a variety of venues. You can watch us over at techpodcast.com, here at geeknewscentral.com, on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung, Google TV, Chromecast. Really, there's a lot of places to watch the show, and we encourage you to do on whatever piece of glass you want. Whether it be your mobile device, your iPad, you can watch the show. We're all HTML5 capable here. So both for Android and for the iOS devices, don't worry. You can get access at any time. Just come to the website and click play if you so desire. Of course, remember the Tech Podcast Network, 140 family-safe shows over there. So get over to Tech Podcast, check out all the great content on that site. And we're streaming live tonight on YouTube. So our YouTube viewers, we want to welcome you as well. Hey, this show is sponsored, of course, largely by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy's been here with us, wow, for a long time. Since July of 2005, they've been a dedicated sponsor of this show. And the only reason they continue to sponsor the show is you continue to buy products in my name or by using my promo codes. And we hope that you'll continue to do that. Really, literally keeps the lights on and keeps the food on my family's table. So we appreciate it when you guys support our sponsor. It is critically important each month that I know a number of you aren't going to be in the market for a new product or service each month, but if you are coming up on getting ready to buy something, that you think about me first when you get ready to pick up a product. We got some great deals for you. It's always about you. It's always about saving you money. That's the best part about this. We've got this great deal going on this month. Now, let me go over to the website and I'll show you all of the codes that we have available for you. Actually, I'm ill-prepared. Let me basically scroll down the website and you'll see in the second column of the website, you're going to see a big graphic. It says GoDaddy promo codes. You click on that and that's going to take you right over to the page where we have all our codes, all the most update deals and stuff going on. And of course, this month, which is coming to a close rapidly. I just can't believe it. We're almost here at the end of August. $2.49 for a new .com using the promo code Geek249. And what's really cool about this whole buying a .com now with GoDaddy, we've got a special process with them. You click on the promo code and you're going to take to a webpage that basically is going to expedite your buy. You're going to pick the .com or look for the .com that you want. Find an alternate or find the one that exactly fits what you're looking for. And that can be a challenge at times. So don't forget that GoDaddy has auctions as well. And sadly, my codes can't be used on the auction site, but we want you to find it, the right.com by going over there. But you search for the .com, you find it, and with about two clicks, you are at the checkout counter. Unlike the other process where if you come into the GoDaddy.com website straight, you're going to pick a domain and then you're going to get about five pages of, do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want this? Now, I think their products and service they offer extra are fantastic. They have a lot of great offers, great deals, extra add-ons for business and so forth, commerce, all the stuff that you would need really to have as small or big a presence as you want online. And they got hosting accounts all the way down from, you know, really inexpensive all the way up to dedicated servers. Of course, Geek News Central, we're on a dedicated server here. And have been for many, many years that I do pay for. I don't get it for free. That's important that I whip out my credit card just like you guys do and pay for my services every year. But I do use my promo codes. And getting back to those, 32% off your new order at GoDaddy by using the promo code GO32OFF1. Some of you may say, Todd, I've got a product here that is going to, I'm going to be needing to do a renewal. Well, I've got all kinds of everyday non-expiring codes where you can get $20, $10, $5 back, 20% off, 10% off on non-domain orders, .com renewals for $8.49. It just goes on and on and on. SSL certificates for $12.99. A lot of you take advantage of that. That is a deal that can't be beat, the $12.99 secure socket layer certificate. And again, that's for really the super geeks out there. But if you want to website that authenticates when you go HTTPS, that's what those SSL certificates are for. So in other words, large number of codes for you. Again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, you'll find all the codes. We want you to pick GoDaddy as your domain provider and pick up a hosting account. I'll do that with my promo codes, and that way we keep the lights on, keep the family fed, and it's quite literally the truth. So we want to thank all of you for supporting GoDaddy here at Geek News Central. All right, lots to share with you guys. It's been a blur. You know, it's Saturday. Got up. We were all ready to have a great guest on our show, and our guest was flying in from Iceland the night before, and his flight got delayed 8 hours. So we got back into New York at something like some ridiculous hour early in the morning, and he literally slept through our show. So we're going to have Chase back on at a later date. We'll rebook him. Just these things kind of happen, you know, so we understand that. But so Rob and I on Saturday really took some time and we talked about copyright in YouTube. We talked about some new media apps that are making their way onto the space. I was disparaging a few of them on their model, but you'll have to listen to the full episode to get the details. But I think it was Rob and I did a great job of going into some really deep detail on really some of the things that are affecting content creators. So definitely check out the new media show. It's up and online and available for you to watch or listen to. And we want to encourage you, if you're ever thinking about doing media, to subscribe to that show. Now, Saturday, first thing in the morning, boom, got the show knocked out. Then immediately left for soccer. My wife did her very first line judging. She was basically had went to part of the class for being a ref. And she got a little assistance from a ref teacher. So she did a great job. So congratulations to her. They didn't need me. So it was kind of odd. The wife was doing the reffing and I was watching. So that kind of, we had to do like two games. It's crazy. So anyways, got back here pretty late Saturday afternoon, kind of hung out for a few hours. My son basically said he wanted to go play Ingress. So we loaded the two boys up and off they went while my daughter stayed home and was doing this, getting, stuff ready for her, basically applications and so forth as seniors do for college and scholarships and, you know, the Naval Academy and Air Force Academy and everything, ROTC and everything else that she's applying for. And, Sunday we spent at the beach. Went as a family down to a beach here real close to the house, about 15 minutes away. Was supposed to only go for like 3 or 4 hours. Then my daughter, all her girlfriends showed up and I'm cooking and everything else that goes along with being at the beach. And, we end up leaving there just about dark. So it was a pretty, I guess what you would say is family filled weekend. And then busy right back here in the office this morning, working on things. We got a lot of stuff going on. Big release of PowerPress tomorrow morning with a press release. It's going to punch out in about, let's see, it's what time is it? It's 2:30 in the morning on the East Coast, I guess in about 5.5 hours or maybe 6.5 hours. It's going to punch out a PowerPress version 5.0. Major update with lots of, cool new features. We're really excited about this update as we are any release, but this is a major rev, and Angela's been working on this for, I guess, about the last 4 to 6 weeks, so we're ready to have that online for the podcasters to hook up. Other than that, everything's moving here. As soon as this show gets done tonight, I've got a advertising campaign to process. We've got a insertion order that came in for a huge buy for a number of shows, so I'm going to work on that probably to about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. yeah, it's going to be a long night, but let's get into the content. We got a lot to talk about, so we'll move along and keep this pony running here. I'm going to get right into the thick of things, and let me make sure I've got that. I don't need this one. So big announcement today. The news kind of popped early this morning, but Uber has basically made a contract or done some sort of an arrangement, and they're willing to invest up to $375 million to purchase 2,500 driverless cars from Google when they become available at the end of the year. Now, this is a pretty big deal because it goes along with some other things too. You know, Google's been developing driverless cars since 2008. And they just showcased what they call the GX3200 earlier this year at the Detroit Auto Show. The GX3200 is a 4-person, 3-suitcase car with built-in Wi-Fi and a charge. It can get up to 750 miles. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that Google is going to build their own cars. That's what they're talking about, doing their own car builds, because they've been talking for quite a while with the major manufacturers and haven't got any of them to move off dead center. So this is pretty huge. And so what does this mean? Where you're going to have wireless cars, driverless cars transporting people around. I'm sure there is going to be some challenges here. Now, Uber was added in Honolulu last week. There's 24 cities in the United States that have the Uber service. And we know that there's going to be major hurdles with labor union petitions, safety regulations, all this stuff. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think it would be pretty cool. They got a driverless car here in Hawaii. Like, take me to the airport. Matter of fact, I want one to drive me around. I don't want to drive in this traffic. I want to be able to say, you know, take me to, you know, program wherever I need to go. I drive where I want it to. It push whatever button needs to be done, and it takes over and takes me the rest of the way to my destination when I'm sitting stop and go traffic, because then I can work and do whatever else I want. But I'm sure this is going to be lots of news. We're going to have to see where this goes, but this is big. $375 million investment to buy 2,500 driverless cars. And Google's pushing. They're pushing the limit on this thing. And, you know, I'm sure many of these cars will have to have someone in the car, you know, driving them. But we'll see where this goes. I want this to happen in a big, big way. Many of you don't. Many of you don't want a computer driving you. And we'll kind of get into some of those reasons a little bit later. But this would be fantastic. I think it'd be way cool. And sign me up. Sign me up. I'll be the first one to to take a ride. And I will have my camera rolling. So let's keep our fingers crossed. And as a geek, you got to think this has got to be the most ultimate thing, right? It's got to be. You know, this is, you know, what geek wouldn't want to go in a driverless vehicle? I can't wait. All right, switching gears in a big way here. Chromecast, boy, Google has really, they have really irked some people off. There was an update that broke a local media, that broke local media streaming in some third-party apps. Now, in the beginning, everyone was worried that it was going to be a, how should we say it? It was basically Google trying to lock people out. And basically, it wasn't that at all. Google says it's willing to support local content. He says they say that these are early days for the SDK, and the feature set is likely to change. They said, we're excited to bring more content to Chromecast and would like to support all types of apps, including those for local content. It's early days for Google Cast SDK, which we just released in the developer preview for early development testing only. We expect that the SDK will continue to change before we launch out of developer preview and want to provide a great experience for users and developers before making the SDK and additional apps more broadly available. So that's an interesting statement. They kind of hedged their bets here. But Chromecast, and what broke and what has really happened here. And I feel sorry for Kaushik Duda. He initially named this app MyCast. And that infringed my company's trademark. And it was too close of a function thing. And we asked him not to call the app MyCast. So then he changed it another name. And the other name violated someone else's trademark. So now he's calling it AllCast. So, you know, the folks are really, you know, and I got to admit, this guy's, you know, he's a big Android developer. He's followed widely. He's very popular, and people are not happy. There's 286 comments on his blog. So he's got to call it AllCast, because the other name that he tried to use was AirCast, and AirCast was owned by someone else. So, you know, he's on his third name. Hopefully he's got one that he can use. It's not going to infringe. And but now Google, you know, throws a right hook at him and basically breaks his app. So we'll see where this goes. But he's batting 1,000 on this thing and having challenges. So anyway, we'll see where this leads. And I'm sure many of you have already downloaded and are using AllCast. All right, next discussion up is talking about Feedly. Logged into Feedly this afternoon to start getting ready for the show, and boom, right at the top it says, hey, you can go pro And I immediately whipped out my credit card and I paid $45 for a year of extra functionality. I want these guys to survive. I think I could have got away without using the pro account, but I really felt it was important to support them financially. So definitely I paid for a year. And those of you that are using them for a RSS reader, I would really encourage you to if you're using Feedly to whip out your credit card and definitely take some time and you know, pay them $45 for a year. You know, they are right now the leader of the pack when it comes to being a replacement to Google Reader, and they're doing a real good job. The app is very responsive. It's doing what it's supposed to do. So I'm very pleased with Feedly so far. It looks like they're scaling okay, but we definitely are very happy, for at least my part, to get money in their hands and keep the service moving and growing. Of course, that was an article that was over on Engadget, so I'll have that link up for you in the show notes. Another article that's in Engadget that's being widely publicized is Moto X for Verizon is officially going to be available online August 29th. And at stores in the coming weeks. So if you're on Verizon and you want a Moto X, $829, just a few short days from now, and you'll be able to order one online and pick one up. So a lot of people are raving about this particular phone. So definitely check it out. If you're ready for an update, this might be the time to do so. All right, I covered this on Saturday, but I did want to take a little time and talk about it today because many of you don't listen to my Saturday show. Lawrence Lessig is a well-known name in the digital space. But Lawrence Lessig and the Electronic Frontier Foundation are joining forces to fight off what they see as a DMCA trolling from Australian record company Liberation Music. At issue is a lecture that Lessig did in 2010. He made it available as a Creative Commons. He presented it at a Creative Commons conference in South Korea. And the talk included short, very short clips of amateur dance videos that use the French band's Phoenix Listomania as a soundtrack that was copyright held by Liberation Music. After delivering the lecture, Lessig uploaded the clip to YouTube, and the fun started. Of the roughly 33,000 uploads, according to the register shirts, of Listomania present on YouTube, Liberation Music has chosen to pursue Lessig's lecture as the subject of a takedown notice. So it was 33,000 other versions or mix-ups of or people using Liberation Music. And they tried to block the video through YouTube's copyright infringement system. They submitted a DMCA takedown notice. Lessig filed a counter notice that asserted the clips were fair use. After Liberation Music threatened to sue Lessig, he retracted the notice, but Lessig did not concede this issue. Instead, he enlisted EFFs to help take Liberation Music to court. So the EFF now wants a federal court in Massachusetts to rule that the video is fair use. And you guys can read the full filing. Lawrence Lessig is someone you don't want to piss off. He's been fighting these guys in different groups on YouTube for a long time. You know, one of the well-known ones is the baby giggling clip and basically dancing to some music that got taken down by some overzealous record companies. And here we have another one, Liberation Music. They had someone promoting their media. Someone was talking positively about how their media is being used online, and they basically had a copyright takedown. And I bet you it's because it's Lawrence Lessig. So we'll see where this leads, but he's not one to back down from a fight. And so now we'll see where this goes. This will be a court battle to watch, and I'm glad to see him taking it because, as I talked about on Saturday, it's gotten out of control. I cannot show, if I was in this show right here, right now, as we are live, if I was to play a video that had any background music in it, YouTube's automatic, because I'm live streaming on YouTube, any music that is played is automatically listened to by the YouTube engine, especially since we're live. And if it detects copyrighted music, it would shut down this live stream and it would block me for a week. I would be put, my account would be put on hold for 7 days. I'm afraid, you know, and this is one thing, it's, you know, if you want to have your videos up on YouTube, you got to stay in their good graces, right? So if I was to put up a video of a SpaceX launch, which I've done in the past, which has also been covered by another news organization, let's say CNN, Fox News, NBC, CBS. I think the last one I takedown notice I got was from CBS. So I put a video provided by SpaceX to the press. I put it in this show, play it on the show, audio and all. And then 2 or 3 days later, somebody else has put their video up with the same clip in it, and they've registered their entire news broadcast is copyright. Google and YouTube sees that. They see my clip with the same piece in it and say, oh, Todd, you have copyright violated against CBS, where in fact, CBS had no right to the original content to claim copyright on. And we'll go through this back and forth for 2 or 3 days a week. And the next thing I know that CBS will say, oh, yeah, we're right. That's not copyright violation. But their automated system is so overzealous that you have to be so careful. At some point, I don't know if they're going to start having it where if I put a web page up, you know, they say, oh, you got somebody's web page up. And you know, now you're violating that. And boom, the next thing I know, my content is being flagged for a copyright violation. It's really, really gotten out of control. And it's you know, this is, and YouTube's trying to protect themselves. I understand that. But there needs to be a way to allow people their designated news, bloggers, you know, podcasters, people that are reporting on stuff, that use short clips or use something that's been provided, to allow them to not be impacted. But this is going to not just not going to affect me, it's for affect all of you that are putting stuff up on the internet. If your kids do one of these ad lib things to some music video, the next thing you know, they, you know, boom, they got a copyright violation on them. It's not just affecting me, it's going to affect all of us, which sucks. It really does. It sucks big time. So, we'll see where this leads. I hope he wins this in a big, big way. Well, those of you in the chat room, I want to welcome you guys. You guys are up late. Thanks for being up late. Sly Fox, Brian, Spitballs, all you guys, thanks for being up late with me tonight. Appreciate it. Again, if you got comments on the show tonight, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, Twitter is @geeknews. Real easy to remember. We want you to subscribe. Thank you for supporting our sponsors as well. All right, U.S. government finds that 0.7% of all mobile malware affects iOS, while Android accounts for 79%. Where's the other part? Okay, so here it is. Android 79%, Symbian phones 19%, Windows Mobile 0.3, BlackBerry 0.3, iOS 0.7, and others 0.7. And this is kind of funny. This U.S. government review, this slide has a thing that says unclassified on it. I'm surprised to see that. But anyway, this was a cautionary memo put out by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the U.S. Department of Justice. It talks about which operating systems are most vulnerable. So if you've got an Android phone, you are more susceptible to a malware coming onto your device than iOS, which is kind of surprising, really, if you think about what they're saying there. I guess Google does a better job of policing their, Apple does a better job. Apple does a better job of policing their apps. All right, flipping here to science, and this one here is a little bit of a puzzle, and it's got scientists baffled. There is a star, and let me actually bring this up. This is over at the DailyGalaxy.com. And they're reporting on this star that's well known. It's something that has been, I think they've known about it since the 1950s. But it's supposedly the oldest star in the universe. It's a primeval dwarf galaxy, and it's been sucked into the emerging Milky Way. And Howard Bond, a Pennsylvania State University and the Space Telescope Science Institute, said the star could be old as 14.5 billion years, plus or minus 0.8 years, which, if we look at this, would make it older than the universe calculated age of about 13.8 billion years, which is an obvious dilemma. But earlier estimates from observations dating back to 2000 place the star as old as 16 billion years, an age range that presented a potential dilemma here for scientists. And this thing is cruising. It's on this orbit, moving at 800,000 miles per hour. So this sucker's flat out getting it. And so, you know, it's transversing the sky at a very high rate. But, you know, what does that mean then? If they say the star is, and I didn't show you guys, of course, it's just a picture. But if the star is truly 14.5 billion years old, does that mean the universe is 14.5, or where did it come from? did it come from beyond the wall? You know, we've talked about this before. You know, the universe is expanding into what? another universe? So anyway, it's an interesting discussion point. And it's one of those things, it's like the pyramids, that you'll scratch your head just a little bit. All right, switching back to the tech here. Windows 8.1. There's been some screenshots that have been leaked. We've talked about this a few times. And, you know, I want Windows 8.1 just to be like my Windows 7. But give me the updated OS. You know, give me my start button back. You know, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I don't think I'm getting my start button back. It doesn't look like we are. And that really sucks. It really, really does. I want my start button back. And so we'll see. They say we're supposed to get it back. But I'm looking at this screenshot, and I guess if the new start button is that little Windows logo, I guess maybe it is. Maybe it's just a new way to highlight it. But anyway, Windows 8.1. And when they do, if they release this, and it basically allows me to run like a regular desktop mode, I'm going to upgrade my machines. But like you, I've been kind of like not wanting to. My experience, I'll be honest with you, I really got torqued the other night. I had my Windows 8 slate, the Microsoft RT, and was playing around with it. And I'm like, I need Chrome on here. And it wouldn't let me load Chrome. Now, regular Windows 8 will, but not on the Windows RT. I was just slightly perturbed. Didn't realize that was a limitation of it. And I'm not a big fan of Internet Explorer yet, but that's what I was forced to use. And obviously, it didn't do what I wanted to do. All right, you got some old accounts out there. Do you have some stuff out there that you need, some old accounts you need to kill? Well, there's a website out there that'll help you out doing this. And, you know, every time I see a site like this, I just get a wee bit nervous. But the folks over at NPR have recommended, so I guess it's safe. It's justdelete.me. It's a directory of direct links to delete your account from a variety of web services. So they've got a variety of things that you can use to go out there and kill accounts on. So I'll have this up in the show notes for you, but if you've got some old accounts just hanging that you need to get rid of, just try justdelete.me. All right, over on the Register, a botched court doc outs Google as a respondent in national security flap. An error by the U.S. Department of Justice document redaction staff has inadvertently let slip a secret that the DOJ, has spent months battling in the courts to protect. Now, the Department of Justice has long maintained the practice of using national security letters, NSLs, to obtain information for tech companies about their customers. And these are basically very hush-hush. You can't even say if you've got one. So when the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of New York published a document filed by a tech company arguing that the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution gives us the right to talk about NSLs, it has received every single mention of the company. It has received every single mention of the company's name was blacked out. That is, until they left one line out. They missed it. And here's what it says. Let me find the actual blunder here. Where did they show it? I was reading this, and it showed me the actually it had the quote here. It spilled the beans on, oh, here it is. Spilled the beans on page 6 of the document, where one paragraph begins. On June 6, 2013, the public's already healthy interest in Google's receipt of and response to national security legal processes skyrocketed. So in other words, right there, they would have, on all the other pages, they blacked out Google's name. So it was definitely in regards to Google. So it's kind of funny. Google's not saying anything about it. They can't. Oh, it cracks me up. Okay, so over on Gizmodo, and I've seen this already, but have you guys seen this new plastic phone that's going to be the cheaper iPhone? I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking to myself, who's going to buy that piece of crap? It's blue, and it's got this, like, cheap plastic look. I hate to say it. It really does look cheap. I can only hope that this is not the real deal. If it is, I think Apple's got a real problem. And there's a video here that you all may want to watch. And the phone doesn't look that different from an iPhone 5. So as I was, you know, I'm looking at this video, I'm looking at the phone, and to me, it just exudes cheap. You know, back in the 70s, I'm dating myself here, when you got stuff from Japan, it was largely considered junk. Most of it was real cheap plastic. It was like, you know, you almost wrinkled your nose at stuff that came out of Japan. And that changed. You know, that Japanese got their act together, and it changed in a big, big way. Sony become a super powerhouse, and you know, they're known for high, you know, it was this quick ramp up. It was, you got junk, and all of a sudden there was this breakout product called the Walkman, and everything from there on was pretty high quality coming out of Japan. And this blue plastic just exudes cheap. I hope this is not the real deal. I'm be honest with you. I hope this is not the next product, because I'll be honest with you, Apple has, if this is the case, they will have lost their edge, and they're going to be in deep, deep trouble. We're going to know in a few weeks. You know, just a couple weeks from now, the announcement's going to come out. And I'm hoping that they have a big surprise for us, and that there's something cool here, and there's some additional announcements. But I know many of you love your iPhones, but just looking at the mock-up of this new version does not excite me in the least. I got a buddy that showed me his brand new Galaxy S4 today, and nice phone, nice screen, everything. The Optimus, you know, the phone that I had that from LG, that it was a nice phone too. There's a lot of options out there, folks. There really, really is. I know many of you love your iPhones. I still have one. I'm still using it as my primary phone as well. But I hope this new iPhone is not what I think it is. And time will tell. We'll know on the 10th. All right, let's, I love seeing videos. I mean, not videos, pictures from space. And obviously some of these have been doctored up with colors, and this is just an incredible photo. And I love seeing stuff like this. And this is from Wired's space photo of the day. Pretty incredible picture. And it's of the Orion Nebula Center. And it is an incredible photo that I've made as my new background on my desktop. You have to have change from time to time. And this one here was just, to me, wowed me. And obviously this is not the real color, but it's, you know, it's probably an infrared view. and they've colored it up a little bit, but holy smokes. Just that your jaw drops looking at these things. And then I saw another one that I had to laugh at because it's an eyeball. And this one came from the Spitzer Space Telescope. And it looks like an eyeball. And obviously it's not. It's something else that is I don't know if this is from a star that's blew up or whatever. But very, very cool stuff that's out there. And we live in a very, very violent universe. And just be happy that our star is healthy and not going boom like many do every day, throughout the known universe. Okay, hey, those of you in the UK, listen up. We're really changing gears here, coming out of science mode. Let's talk about a former Metropolitan Police Commissioner who's basically saying anti-terror law should be used to stop investigative journalism. Former boss of the Metropolitan Police, Lord Blair, doesn't support the detainment of the individual that they did recently, that guy, Miranda guy, but is arguing that anti-terror law should be expanded in the UK to cover investigative journalists, like the kind that Glenn Greenwald is, and he suggests that new laws were needed to cover those who obtained secret materials without proper authorities. He says the state has to have secrets. That's how it operates against terrorists. It has to have the right to preserve those secrets, and we have to have a law that covers a situation when somebody, for all sorts of wonderfully principled reasons, wishes to disclose those. It's just something that is extremely dangerous for individual citizens to make those secrets available to the terrorist. So this guy wants investigative journalists to be locked up. Huh. Kind of scary, isn't it? So do we really have freedom of speech in the United States and the UK? Do we anymore? Obviously, this is not the case right now, but when you have people talking like this, this should scare the crap out of you. To hear people talking like this makes you go, it's very rare that investigative journalists get their hands on the type of material that this traitor that's living in Moscow right now got his hands on. And it's obviously when stuff like this is released, it is damaging. But at the same point, if you've got a journalist that's reporting on stuff that they feel is newsworthy and something they feel the public should know, it should be their right to do that, But boy, oh boy. Now, the question is, where does the line get crossed? Is there a line in the sand? If someone found something, so let's say today or tomorrow, someone found some official documents that showed aliens were living with us. And, and had some pretty damning evidence. Would that be something that the papers would be willing to run if they had undeniable proof? Would that be something that would go too far? Or how about something more concerning, like a terrorist having some sort of a weapon that he stole or something like that? If they found that up, would that be, it would a news organization have a, some common sense to maybe hold that information before releasing it to the public? I don't know. I would think there would be some common sense that would be put forward. If there's alien stuff, I want to hear about that. So I'd love to hear from you guys' thoughts. Do you think that news organizations should withhold reporting on stuff if they've got something in their hands that is obviously something they shouldn't have, that's been obtained by someone improperly? Should they go to the government and say, we've got this? What do you guys think? Love to hear your comments. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Steve Jobs' email shows Apple changed its in-app purchasing rules specifically to retaliate against Amazon. This article over at Tech Dirt. And this is, if I was Amazon, this would be a bolster to my defense. So in an ongoing legal fight between Apple and the Department of Justice over how Apple will be punished for violating antitrust laws concerning ebooks, the Department of Justice has presented one interesting bit of new evidence, an email from Steve Jobs, which he flat out tells Phil Schiller to change how in-app purchases work solely to punish Amazon for daring to suggest it's easy to switch from an iPhone to an Android. So here's the email. On November 22nd, 2010, Philip Schiller wrote an email to Steve Jobs. He says, I just watched a new Amazon Kindle app ad on TV. It starts with a woman using an iPhone and buying and reading books with the Kindle app. The woman then switches to an Android phone and still can read all her books. While the primary message is that there are Kindle apps on lots of mobile devices, the secondary message that can't be missed is that it's easy to switch from iPhone to Android. Not fun to watch. Steve Jobs, the late Steve Jobs, replies on just a little while later, what do you recommend we do? Question mark. The first step might be to say they must use our payment system for everything, including books, triggered by the newspapers and magazines. If they want to compare us to Android, let's force them to use our far superior payment system. Thoughts? So remember, when basically you no longer can buy, and I buy Kindle books all the time, you have to go to Amazon, you got to look them up, you got to pay for them on Amazon, and then it can be delivered to your Kindle app on iOS. But you can't buy a Amazon book in the app itself because of this change. So this is huge. This is pretty bad. It shows that the decision had little to do with reasonable choices for consumers and a lot to do with punishing a competitor. Huh. Interesting move, yeah? So I wonder what Amazon's going to have to say about that. Just goes to show if your marketing message is real good, be careful what you wish for. Article over on Slashdot. This should really scare you. CNN has some news that financial lending companies claim that Facebook social connections can be a good indicator of a person's credit worthiness. One company determines if you're friends with someone who was late paying back a loan. If so, that is bad news for you. It's even worse if the delinquent friend is someone you frequently interact with. Another company gathers information from the manner in which a customer fills out the online loan application. The chances of getting a loan improve if you spend time reading information about the loan on their website. Conversely, if you fill out the application typing in all caps or with no caps, you are knocked down a couple of pegs in that company's eyes. A third lender requires that small business borrowers grant them access to the borrower's PayPal, eBay, and other online payment accounts, thereby disclosing real-time sales and delivery information. Can you believe this? That some financial companies are looking at Facebook and who you have as friends? I have several thousand people on my Facebook friend page that are fans of the show. I don't know you personally. We know each other through the show. I don't care if you pay your bills on time. I hope you do. I don't care if you've had a bankruptcy. I don't care if you've defaulted on a loan. That's not my business. That's yours. But if some financial company is going to penalize me for being friends with you, that, my friends, is absolutely insane. We've all had friends who have had trouble financially from time to time. Everyone has, whether it be a family member, whether it be a friend, whether it be someone you work with. We've all had those issues. It doesn't make them any less a friend. Wow. Does CNN say who the company is? Let me load it up. Which company does this? Lendo. Never heard of them. L-E-N-D-D-O. they determine if your friends on Facebook are behind on their bills. A German company called CredTech says it used up to 8,000 data points in accessing an application for a loan. Cabbage is a company that accessed PayPal, and these are companies I've never heard of. But can you imagine if we had our three main credit score folks here in the United States start impacting us on, you know, our credit scores based upon our friends? Wow. That's just amazing. Okay, there's an article over on UBMFutureCities.com. And if you want to know where to live, where you have the best internet, here we go. The top 10 list. Seoul, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Prague, Amsterdam, Montreal, Seattle, Geneva, Stockholm, Vienna. So there was only one city in the United States that made the top 10, and that was Seattle at number 7. So, wow. And this was based on average internet connection speed available city. This was the criteria. Availability of citywide Wi-Fi, openness to innovation, support of public data, and security and data privacy were all things that were put in the scoring. So, you know, the folks in Korea, man, they're rocking. They got great internet. So very, very cool. I got to get moving here. I'm not going to make it through. Facebook has introduced something pretty cool. It's called Shared Album Feature. I think this is cool. Facebook and Monday begin letting members collaborate on shared online photo albums at the leading social network. It's being rolled out slowly, but it's definitely something we will use at CES, where each of us can put collaborate and put our photos up. Next article up is talking about U.S. regulators exploring rules for Bitcoin. The Bitcoin Foundation met with several U.S. agencies today. Basically, they're trying to come up with rules and talking with regulators whether the online currency should comply with currency rules. So it won't be long, folks. And Fed rules will apply to Bitcoin. There's a very cool video. It's war. Siri mocks Google Glass. But the video, it goes much, much deeper. And apparently, people are worried that Siri and Google Glass and vice versa may at some point not necessarily give us information that is right or could put us in danger. This is a little bit of satire, obviously, but I want you guys to watch this video. If you don't believe Siri can lose her temper, please take a look at the movie. And anyway, it's also got some stuff in there for Google Glass. But obviously, this is made up, but definitely check it out. And I think you'll get a kick out of this. But it should make us all go, just a little bit. You've talked about people that have followed their GPSs into no man's land and died, right? Well, it could be the same situation with our Google Glass or with something like Siri. Big news this past week was Ballmer. Ballmer is basically punching out of Microsoft within the next year. They're trying to figure out who's going to run the company. Of course, this popped the day after we did the show. And a lot of people are trying to speculate who would be the person to take up the job. And a lot of folks said Kevin Rose, but I think it'll be a cold day and you know where before he's actually on the list. But Tony Bates, he's basically executive in charge of Skype, is on the short list. Stephen L. Opp, the head of Microsoft Business Division, is on the list as well. Julie Larson Green is apparently one of the folks that were initially called in sometime in the past the heir apparent. So that's kind of an interesting move. Kevin Johnson, who left Microsoft to run Juniper Networks, might be available. Q. Liu, a longtime Yahoo search venture, could be potentially on the list. Paul Martiz, he rose nearly the top of Microsoft before leaving 13 years ago. He currently runs a cloud-based startup called Pivotal. Steven Sanosky runs Rand Windows and is arguably the second most important person in company. Tammy Reller, she's been at Microsoft since the acquisition of Great Plains Software in 2001. So there's a short list, 8 candidates for Microsoft top job. If I was going to bet in Vegas, I would say Tony Bates is going to be your man. that's going to take over Microsoft. But I hope they bring in, you know, some nice, fresh blood here that's going to have some innovative ideas. That's what's going to be required to really turn Microsoft around. And I got an article to talk about Steve Wozniak here in a few minutes, just a short anecdote and something he said recently in an interview. But I want to update you on what's going on with Time Warner and CBS. Time Warner has gone old school. They're making available free rabbit ears in the CBS blackout areas. Oh, this is funny. So basically, Time Warner is making available rabbit ears to their customers so that they can get CBS over the air. The company's offering a $20 voucher for people to buy antennas at Best Buy. Time Warner also show the tennis channel for free just in time for... So anyway, this is funny. Oh, man. This is funny stuff. So yes, if you don't watch CBS in a blacked out area, just go get some rabbit ears and hook them to your TV. Does that even work on most modern TVs this day? Oh, hey, the 787/9 has been rolled out. The new aircraft is 20 feet longer than the original 787 and can carry an additional 40 passengers up to 8,200 nautical miles. That's 300 more miles than its predecessor. The plane's first test flight is scheduled later this year. Air New Zealand is set to get the first 787-9 in the middle of next year. So anyway, there's a video of its rollout. You guys can check it out. Things are already huge. Very, very huge. Article over in the BBC, again, talking about Steve Wozniak, basically saying Microsoft is resting on its laurels. They've lost their edge. And I think many of us maybe could agree to a certain extent. You know, after all, I'm getting ready to do a desktop replacement, and I'm really looking at doing a Mac. And still, you know, on edge here on which way to go. I've been thinking about it for about a month. But, you know, that's for those of you that have known me for a long time, you guys are probably about falling over, but it's true. I'm really trying to figure out which way to go. Hey, this past weekend, Instagram, Vine, and Netflix hit by Amazon glitch. They had another problem in the Virginia data center, and we've got data over there as well. We didn't get hit by that. But boy, oh boy, that Virginia data center has had the majority of outage problems recently. Someone said for digital TV, you need a set of rabbit ears that include a powered amplifier. Ah, oh, very, very good there, Spitballs. Thanks for telling me that. All right. You know, I'm really starting to get excited about some of these digital watches, smartwatches. And Omate True Smartwatch has its own cell, modem, camera, and GPS. It's a Kickstarter project called Omate True Smart. And they're looking for people to get involved with this. And pretty exciting stuff here from a smartwatch capability. They show some of the menu systems and everything. But if they're trying to get the project to $500,000, and so that's where we'll see this. But I have the link up in the show notes. You guys can check this out. It might be something that I'll consider jumping in on. I got to get in a little bit deeper on the Kickstarter and see where the buy-in is. But I love Kickstarter. There's a lot of cool projects going on over there. Okay, another article in the Register. Chinese authorities say massive denial of service attack took down the .cn domain. So this is the first time that they suffered a very large denial of service attack. And in a statement, the CNIC said the attacks began around midnight on Sunday, Chinese time, and testified a few hours later. There was another surge in denial at 4 a.m., but basically they're all clear about 10 hours later. So definitely had a huge impact with the Chinese .cn domains being down. Talked a little bit about this on the last show. Pew is basically saying 30% of U.S. adults don't have broadband, 10% use smartphones as sole internet access, and 20% have glitch. But there's a more bigger breakdown of the data on age, income level, all that stuff. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you guys tonight if you're interested in more in the more deeper details of this. Gizmodo has a pretty good image of 170 years of hurricanes mapped into one stunning image. So if you're weather nut, you'll definitely want to check this out. I have the link up for you to take a peek at. Also, if you ride a bike, and boy, I tell you, riding bikes are becoming quite the rage now all over the country. So this is a pretty brilliant bike accessory. It keeps your helmet safe and your butt dry. So basically, it's a helmet that fits over your seat and basically locks to your seat. You can keep your seat dry and basically not have to carry your helmet with you. So very, very clever. I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. Those of you that are looking to pick up some accessories for a bike. Also, apparently a lot of people are not very happy that Ben Affleck has been taking on the role of Batman, and they've actually started a petition on change.org. 75,000 people signed a petition to register their disgust and demand that Ben Affleck be removed from the role. The petition gives a litany of reasons why Warner Brothers should dump Affleck from the film project. Those include inadequate acting skills to portray Bruce Wayne. He can't carry a movie on his own, is certainly no superhero. Also cites his atrocious portrayal of superhero Daredevil in 2003 movie of the same name. This guy, these folks do not want Ben Affleck on the Batman movie. And it does sound kind of a weird pick. He just doesn't have the voice. So, are you guys passionate about this? Are you pissed that they're picking him for the Batman role? Any Batman fans out there? LG is teasing an upcoming G-Pad 8.3 tablet in a YouTube video. So LG's got the old publicity wagon rolling here. And they're teasing this first tablet since the Optimus Pad LTE. So see if this gets you excited. A Mophie juice pack is now available for the Galaxy S4, available for $99. And I'm a big fan of Mophie now that they've got their little connector problems fixed. So if you're looking for a Mophie juice pack for the Galaxy S4, you can get one for $99. Ingress players out there, to let you know, this is a great deal. And how many, I don't do a lot of things to relax. I'm a pretty high tense, I'm pretty much on the move all the time. And how come that page is not loading? Well, there we go. And, the only time I kind of get to get like 15 minutes of downtime is the shower. I get in a shower. It's just a great place for me to just put my head underneath the hot water and just kind of veg for a few minutes. It's just, it's one of those Zen type things, right? And some people do it doing a little yoga. Some people lay down on the couch. For me, it's basically stick my head underneath the shower and just kind of sit there and take it all in. And, it's good. Well, I would never buy this shower head. The shower head prompts people to take shorter showers and saves water. Now, I thought this was pretty smart. How long is a typical shower? 7 minutes is apparently ideal. At least that's the figure that this folks are working with. And basically what this thing does is it changes colors the longer you take a shower. And so encourages people to take a shorter and more efficient showers by letting people become aware how long they're in the shower. And they say they've actually been able to cut shower time by 12%. Now, since I put in 160 gallons worth of hot water heater, 280 hot water gallon heaters that are on solar, which I have not had to turn my power on once in several months now, which is fantastic to heat up my hot water. I've got plenty of hot water to go around here. And really all I'm doing is, and it's too a valuable resource, is wasting water. But, I don't really spend more than 12 or 15 minutes in the shower ever. But you ever kind of get in the shower sometimes and get out and you look at the clock, you're like, wow, I was in there a lot longer than I should have been. I think we've all done that from time to time. Had that happen to me 2 days ago. I kind of got in there and it was like daydreaming a little bit. But this might be something for the kids, because I got some kids that want to take some Hollywood showers. This might be just the thing to buy for $50. And it turns red. For the kids, it should have an alarm on it. Whoop, 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 whoop. Makes them get out. That's what you need. For those of you that have been weirded out about the whole email thing and NSA, Lavabit is an alternative offering. And basically, it's cloud storage to help you encrypt your email. So it's by mykolab.com. And I don't know anything about this, but it's a Swiss company that's trying to capitalize on this. Maybe a place to go and get your email hid. And finally, from PC World, three handy but often overlooked Chrome features. Number one, one of Chrome's most powerful capabilities is synchronization, not just your bookmarks and password, but also your open tabs. Don't forget, Chrome saves your passwords in a text file, very easy to read. Recently closed. As you may know, if you accidentally close a tab, you can immediately reopen it by pressing Control T. However, what if you need to recall a tab that you closed a while back, or a tab that wasn't the very last one you closed? What you need is a list of closed tabs, which Chrome quietly provides. While you're down in the lower right corner, look at the option right next to other devices, the recently closed menu. Click it and you'll see links to your 10 most recently closed tabs. So that's something I didn't know either. Web store. Newcomers to Chrome simply may not be aware of the Google offers a fairly massive library of apps for the browser, and it's accessible via the Google Chrome web store. All these links tonight will be up on gncshownotes.com or gncshownotes.com/885. All right, that brings me to the end of the regular content tonight. I want to open up email here. I don't know how much email we got from the last show. And let's see here. Today is the 26th of August. Last show was on the 22nd. So let me go over to the comment section and I will load email from the 23rd on. Got an email from DJ Quad. He says, "Hey, Todd, I doubt you missed this, but just in case, TiVo's next generation has been released called TiVo Romeo." I missed that completely, DJ. Thanks for that link. I'll have it up in the show notes tonight. Got an email here from Paul. "Hey, Todd, still enjoying your show. Just want to say that I love the convenience of listening to you on a podcast because it finds it easier to fit you around my life. Anyway, I've never been a fan of video casts. I'd sooner watch the TV. Keep up the good work. P.S. Only one comment on Syria. IMO, there should be a no-fly zone, as was used to affect Libya to help the rebels, but definitely new boots on the ground." And also number three on there, Paul, I still need to process it, okay? I haven't forgot about you. I just need to process it. And also, I got an email from Barry. Barry, thanks for sending this in. I know about the Lessig lawsuit. Definitely covered that in the show today. So thanks for sending me over that just in case I miss it. It's fantastic that you did. And I got an email here from Matthew. He said, "Hey, Todd, I thought you would be interesting to check this out. It's a product that's a Wi-Fi-enabled irrigation control that optimizes your watering based on the weather, wind, and soil type, and other factors specific to your lawn. It's really about taking the Internet of Things to trend them from exclusively inside the home and bring them to where many of us spend our time during the warmer months, our lawns." And he sent me a link to this, but it's over at b1-1.com. It's kind of a weird domain. I don't know if I trust that domain. I will definitely look at this before I put it up in the show notes. But what is the company name, Matt? It doesn't. BL-1.com is the website. I'll look at, don't even load that before I get a chance to preview that before we, but that sounds kind of cool. Smart sprinkler controller, if this is the real deal, that would be pretty cool. We've seen those type of things in plants and stuff like that. We'll send a message back telling you the plants dry. Okay, this is going to wrap the show up here. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Lots of content, obviously, to get through. But you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. We want you to definitely email the show if you feel that you've got a comment to make about the show or you got an article that you want to submit that you don't think I covered. So definitely check that out, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. I want to thank the folks in the chat room for coming out and hanging out, watching us tonight. Definitely appreciate that. And, actually, we're wrapping up the show pretty quick here tonight from as late a start as we got. But, everyone, thanks for being here. And, again, please support our sponsors at GoDaddy. We definitely want you to do that. And, also, if you become an insider in the last 30 days, thank you so much. And we're also looking for additional folks to become insiders and help the show out financially. You can do so for as little as 6.7 cents a day. I hope I'm worth more than, about 30 cents or 40 cents a week for content. So, you know, you can sign up for $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25 a month or do a one-time donation. Those are welcome as well. So we want to thank all of you for your financial support, those that come in. And those of you that aren't, we'd hope that you will come in and support us financially. Continuing here with a single sponsor probably through next month. So we hope that you'll help us out a little bit and make up some of the delta that we've missed from having a second sponsor on board the show. But everyone, take care. Well, thank you for being here. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.